big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today is like the perfect mix of the YM Sidekick Podcast because it combines digital with student ministry, two of my huge passions in life. And, you know, a friend of mine, Jeff Reed, who's been on the podcast numerous times, did a post on his blog, and I'll have the show in the show notes, I'll have the link for that. But he did a post about Generation Z and loneliness and how it's attributed a lot to social media. And so to talk about that, I didn't bring on Jeff. I just had Jeff on recently. But I brought in Jeanette Yates because Jeanette is in a very similar situation to myself. She has kids at teenage age, and I do too. And she's very passionate about church communications and digital tools. And so I brought her on because we're both very passionate about this subject of social media, student ministry. How do they interact and how do they intersect, and how can we help students not be so lonely? What can we do? What are some tips that we can do on that? And so we explore the article that Jeff did, and then we talk about some tips that will help your students and your student ministry. So I'm really excited about this podcast. So without any further ado, let's get in the interview right now with Jeanette Yates. All right, with me right now is my friend, my virtual friend, because although some of my other friends have actually met her in person, I've still not yet to meet her in actual person. It's the one and the only Jeanette Yates. How are you? How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. The weather is warmer, and that always encourages me because I've got my flip-flops on.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the weather.
Yeah, see, you guys in Florida don't always have all the great weather. We have some good weather down here, or up here in D.C.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, we don't know, like, this non-flip-flop weather of which you speak.
I'm going to tell you this. I was going to tell you this offline, but I'll just tell you this right now online, is that my oldest daughter, who's going into college next year, is she just decided to pick the University of South Florida as where she's going to be attending. I know it's on the other side of the state from you, but it is one of the reasons is because it is warmer down there, and it, you know, the seasonal depression kind of stuff. And
yeah,
you know, hey, what I want the sun. I want the warmth that's going to help me.
Well, and I am just, that is really great. And I just hope that if she's ever there in the summer, she doesn't experience the opposite of the cold seasonal depression, but there's the, you know, it gets hot.
It's really hot. What are the really hot months there?
So we'll probably start to get, I mean, we're already in the 80s at a lot of, you know, off and on, but we've still got some cool, you know, it's cooler in the morning and, you know, so it's not too bad. By May and June, we're going to be getting warm. And then July, August, September, you're just sweating it out. That's why hurricane season, when it gets here, you know, it's when you don't want the, nobody wants the power to go out, not because of the lights, but because of the AC.
That's really interesting. Okay. Well, you see, there are some cons then to living in Florida, despite what everybody says.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, and for someone who's lived in really cold, you know, they're probably going to be like, oh, heat index of 105. This feels awesome. Just going to slap on the sunscreen and go. But for people who have lived here their whole lives, they're like, you know, like everybody's, I'm wearing a sweatshirt today. It's 65 degrees outside.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh, it's cool. I'm going to embrace that while I've got a chance. So we're all like drinking our hot coffee is what we can and wearing our.
Yeah. See, our high is supposed to be, I think, 62 today, and I'm wearing a t-shirt. So it's it's definitely one of those things. Yeah. Like, okay. Well, Jeanette, I am glad that you're on the podcast with me today. Quickly, for anybody who may have not heard you before or whatnot, quickly describe what you do and also,
Okay, so I wear many hats, many, many hats. So I am a church communications director for a local church. I started in church communications several years ago at my home church, and then I popped on down the road about a mile to work for another home church I have, which is the church where I grew up. So I still attend my church. And it's so funny. I haven't worked there in a year, and I met somebody at church on Sunday, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, I knew I recognized you. You're the girl on Facebook," because like the videos, they don't go away. They're still there. And so, so I kind of have this communication role to some extent at both churches, but, I do work for where my parents go and my grandparents go and all those things, where I grew up and all that kind of stuff. And so, and then I have like a lot of little side gigs. Yeah. So.
And one of your side gigs is Texan Church, and that's really kind of cool.
Oh, yes. That's a new, thing. I'm really passionate about teaching people things about church communications. That's why, I have my podcast with my friend Meg Howard and two church girls and a microphone, in case anybody wants to know.
There will be a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, we dropped an Easter episode a while ago. We've got to get back on it. But we both have a lot of side gigs. But I'm really passionate about teaching people new things. Like I went to school to be a teacher. I taught English for a while. Then I taught Pilates for a while. I love teaching. And so I was given the opportunity to kind of help people understand about how the use of text in church can be helpful to their ministry. And so it's a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God does with all that. So that's really great.
That's really cool. Well, I think you're great at that kind of stuff. And so working with Texan Church seems like an ideal situation for you. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about teenagers, social media, and we're going to talk about loneliness and some action steps that we can take. But we're going to use as a reference point, we're going to use a friend of ours, this mutual friend of ours, Jeff Reed, who we both met I met online, and then we met through digital boot camp, and then you actually got to meet him in person, and me, I still have not met him in person yet. but
I met him online first when you were so gracious at the beginning of the year to include me in your people to follow post. So
yes, that's right. Yes.
I started following him, and he started following me. So we kind of had a little bit of a few Twitter interactions before I actually met up with him. So that was really cool.
Well, that is actually very cool. I love online connections. So he, in his blog, he's got a website called thechurch.digital, and he's got a blog post that said, it's entitled USA Today, The Lonely Teen and the Reaiming of Church Online. Now, Jeff does a lot of church online stuff. That's his background. But you and I are all into teenagers. We have teenage. Well, we have, but you have a teenage, right? Yours is a teenager.
I have a high schooler and then a middle schooler he's 13 going on 35. So.
Yes. And so I'm a student minister. I have teenagers. And so this really struck a chord with us, and you and I have been having a lot of different conversations lately. So I just figured let's podcast about this. That would be great. So let's get an initial reaction here about this. Again, the big thing about it was the loneliness factor that teenagers are encountering in large part, they think, because of social media. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I certainly, to some extent, I read both Jeff's article and the USA article to which he refers. Mm-hmm. And, I read these stats and I read about these studies, and it doesn't really surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. But then again, I was a lonely teenager before social media. is it that our teenagers are lonelier than before, or did they just feel more empowered to tell people that they feel lonely and mm-hmm. when answering these questions? And then, I did some digging deeper as I was researching for this episode. And, there's some studies out there that are saying, well, this could be something that's a correlation you know, yep. that there's a correlation between the increase in social media use and the increase in loneliness, or it could, you know, which doesn't necessarily mean it's a causation.
Yeah.
So which came first, the loneliness or the social media? You know, like, I think about in my own home, I have one student or one child. He's not a student to me. He's just my kid. I have one child who is more of a people person and one that's more of a loner. Mm-hmm. Like he just, you know, which means so sometimes he wants to be alone and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
But because he is prone to being on social media because he wants to be alone, mm-hmm. then it's hard to tell when he's on social media because he feels lonely.
Yeah. No. That's a great point, because I think in a lot of different ways, you know, kids are different. I have four daughters of my own, and every single one of them is different. There are some similarities, but they're completely different as well. And they respond to, you know, social media. They respond to their smartphones a little bit differently as well. But I like it how, too, you actually did a presentation that you shared with me. So I'm going to kind of reference this a little bit because I thought it was fantastic. But you said, you know, in the 1980s, you know, era in which I grew up in, you know, we had phone calls, we had three-way calling. You could meet at the mall or the skating rink and or at someone's home. But with social media, if you're feeling lonely, you have that one-on-one interaction, that interaction of a phone call conversation, or you meet with them at the mall, or you hang out with them. But oftentimes with social media, you don't need that interaction to be able to post that you're lonely or that you're not right. feeling good. Everyone's got it at their fingertips, so you don't have to wait for the face-to-face interaction, which I think is completely different in. And opens up so many opportunities then for teenagers to share how they're feeling, which is not a bad thing, I don't think.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's the thing is like, okay, well, you know, are kids really lonelier than they were, or are they just honest?
Yeah.
telling us the truth. Yeah. You know, another thing that I think about too, and again, this was another article I'd read. I want to say it was Meg Meeker, but I can't swear to it. But, you know, there's this idea that when, as adults, we use our social media as kind of a way to like zone out, mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm just going to go scroll through my feed and like some pictures of some, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, church communicators notwithstanding, every time we're on, we're working.
Yes.
But when my teenager is on social media, a lot of times, well, first of all, he's not usually scrolling. I mean, every now and then,
yeah.
But typically he's messaging back and forth. So I'm thinking of social media for myself as a way I isolate from people. Mm-hmm. He's thinking about it as a way he interacts with people. And so I think that's another thing that we kind of need to think about. Well, how are they using the social media? Are they using it to withdraw? Or are they using it to connect? And I think in a lot of cases, depending on which social media platform they're using it as a way to interact with people, which is not a bad thing necessarily.
No, it's definitely not a bad thing. Again, and it's just completely different because I will look on my daughter's phones of what they're doing, you know, while they're actually doing it. Because if we're sitting next to each other or whatnot, I'm looking and she or they are using their smartphone completely different than I am. They are interacting on apps that I'm not interacting on. Not that they're bad apps, but they're just different apps than I'm doing. And you're exactly right. Like I've come to use my smartphone that when I'm bored or when I need something to entertain myself for, I'm pulling up my smartphone. Mm-hmm. But the kids are using it to really interact with people, whether it's through messaging or through Snapchat or through Instagram. They have like 20 different apps that they're using that connect with people in different areas. And again, YouTube's very popular, gaming's very popular. These are all like, there's a lot of community aspects to social media, which again, because you and I did not grow up in that era, it seems foreign to us. And I think we're making assumptions about people that again, I think there's some truths to the isolation, but in the loneliness aspect to it, but it's not all that way, you know?
Right, right. And you know, I think it can be, like I said about my son, like sometimes he wants to be left alone. So he'll get on a platform where he's by himself, like he'll be watching YouTube by himself. Mm-hmm. But then there's other times where he wants to be interacting, and then that's when he's in Instagram Messenger or you know, the direct message part of Instagram, or he's even FaceTime. Like he'll say, "I'm going to go in my room and FaceTime." Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to hang out with my old parents, but I'm going to go hang out with my friends on FaceTime.
Right.
So you know, I think, and then there's times where, you know, like, you know, we just, as parents or as youth leaders, we need to be aware that every time a child's on the phone, it doesn't mean the same thing. Sometimes, yes, it does mean that they're checking out. Sometimes it does mean they're engaging. Sometimes it, you know, it can be a good thing or a bad thing. So we can't just lump everything into this one big bucket.
Yes. Oh, I agree completely. And so we have to figure out, okay, so kids are on here. Again, I like the you just said about FaceTime. My kids FaceTime 8,000 times more than I ever do, although I've learned to FaceTime with them a little bit because it's, you know, but that FaceTime is phone calls of what we were doing back in the 80s. You know, we were right on the phone talking to people. Well, they're FaceTiming and there's that physical interaction, you know, that right they're having. But so we have to learn as parents and as ministers, okay, so how can you use social, how can you use digital to enhance community, and how can you get them to share about their faith, maybe, because this does provide us with a really unique opportunity here that we didn't have back when we were young kids.
Right. So, you know, as a church communicator, or somebody that works with trying to help my church share what God is doing in and through the lives of our members, mm-hmm, you know, that's the story I want to tell. Like, how is God using these people that make up this church to impact the world for good? Like, what is he doing? And so I want more people living out their Christian life on social media. Yeah. So I want to encourage parents and youth leaders, like, hey, you know, yes. Do we need to be smart? Yes. Do we need to teach our children about privacy? Yes. Do there need to be boundaries? Yes. All those things. But separate from that, so like that's, you know, I don't want to say like, you know, that's a whole separate episode, but you know, there's privacy issues and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, this is how our teenagers are interacting. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to, I mean, it's going to change, but it's not going to go back to the quote, olden day. I mean, it's not.
Right. That's right.
It's only going to get more so interactive. And to this point, right now we are engaging through a social platform that is allowing us to see each other while we record this episode. Yeah. And that's the way business is. You know, my side gigs, all remote, all through the use of various applications and platforms that allow me to do business with people that do not live in my state.
Yep.
Or in some cases, my country.
That's right.
You know, so that is where we want to say, okay, let us, instead of pulling back and running away, let's be smart. And then let's, just like we do with our children and our students in our ministry, discuss what it means to be a Christian at home, at school, around our friends. We also want to take that into social media. So I think that's really important. We keep acting like it's just like a hobby or an extra thing, but really it's a part of our lives. And we want, as Christian leaders, to press into that and say, okay, yeah, social media is here. It's here to stay, and it's only going to get bigger. Your work life is going to be affected by this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be part of your work life. It's going to be part of your home life. It's going to be part of, you know, your fun life. Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, how would, if Jesus had an account, how would he act? What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And go there.
Yeah.
So.
I agree completely with you, because I say our social platforms are, like, I hold my leaders, my student ministry leaders, to very high standards on social media, because kids are following them. Kids are watching them. Kids are seeing how they respond to situations. So if I see my leader doing something, we actually, in our very first leaders gathering that we have every year, we go over social media and the impact and the power that it is, because it's extremely powerful. Because even though my leaders can't be with kids 24/7, their social media profiles are with kids 24/7.
Yes.
And they get it. So if my leaders are posting something crazy, you know, I gotta call them out on it, because it's not what we want to be reflecting. In fact, I'll say this with me. One of my standards is, you're not in a picture where there's beer. You know, again, right. I'm 44 years old. I don't ever have a picture where I'm holding a beer where a student can look at me and say, oh, Tom's drinking. That must mean it's okay to drink. Now, that may be an extreme example, but kids may in their own minds look at that and say, well, Tom's drinking. That must mean it's okay for me to drink right now.
That's really important. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, long before I started working in the church, I had another thing I was doing, where I was a leader and mentor for an online platform, that was, you know, a secure platform that you logged into, but it was for people who were in recovery from eating disorders. And I was a support chat leader. Mm-hmm. So like I led a chat. Now again, none of these people I had ever met before in my life. They were all over the world. And I'm helping to mentor them. I was actually in charge of several mentors, and then we all mentored people. We did, you know, support chats and all of these things. And some of those people inside that secure platform, I ended up, they would also follow me on Facebook, for example. Just that was the nature of just how it worked. And I remember making a decision, okay, well, I know there are these people following me, and they're looking to me to see what it's like, to be a person in recovery or having recovered from an eating disorder. So I need to make sure that I am expressing that in an honest way, but also I need to pay attention and making sure I'm not going to post something that might cause them to stumble in their own recovery. Mm-hmm. And then as I started to move into kind of the church communication space, I thought, you know, I probably need to make sure I'm doing that, you know, in a Christian, in the way we've used that terminology from a Christian perspective, like, is what I'm going to post going to cause someone to stumble? And so is it wrong for me to have a beer? Not for me, but could it cause a problem with somebody I know is following me? And I, because of the nature of, you know, some of the people I follow, I'm like, you know what, that might be detrimental. I'm not going to do that. You know, that is something to consider, and it might be, you know, we're using that as an example, you know, but it could be anything. For me at the beginning, I don't share specifics really about my exercise routine, and that's why, you know, for example, people are always like, what are you? And I'm like, I'm not, none of your business.
Probably because you have such an extreme example of, you go all crazy. They're like, how can I live up to this standard?
Well, and that's a trap, right? Yeah. That comparison trap. And so, you know, I don't want to start that, because, and I'm prone to it too. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. So we got to be able to figure out how to use social media as a way to be a powerful witness. And one of the things that I think you and I both like a lot, is YouVersion, and the powerful tool that YouVersion, the Bible app, is for our ministries, in the sense that you can use it to share Bible verses, but you can also use it to do online life groups on there, online Bible studies that get people talking. I've used it in a variety of different contexts, but the one I like to use it the most is in my student ministry, where I'll throw it out to parents and students to say, hey, we're doing this Bible study together. If you want to connect, you don't have to be a student here. You can be a parent. And we get parents and students connecting together on these groups. And so I think that provides really cool opportunities for ministers to use.
Well, listen, I am so glad you brought that up. I did not even know we were going to talk about this, but since we are, here you go. So at the beginning of the year, maybe even I started a little bit before, I was really like going through the motions with my quiet time. Like I was like checking it off a list, getting my streak going and like just yes. moving on. Like, yeah, all the young folk do their Snapchat streaks and like all the fogies are over in YouVersion. Like, what? Yeah. I'm like YouVersion streak. Anyway, but I wasn't like even really checking in to like, I wasn't paying attention. I was like, yeah, Noah's Ark, la, 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 la. Like I was just kind of rushing through. And I was like, okay, this is not what is meant by Bible study right here. And yeah. I really didn't have the time to actually do a face-to-face Bible study. I want to do that, but my life is just not allowing that right now. I do a small group on Sundays during that hour of Sunday school time. But other than that, there's not really anything. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start doing a YouVersion plan, but I'm not going to do any more by myself, you know, or if I'm going to do one by myself, I at least have to have one that I'm doing with somebody else. So every time I pick a plan, Tom, I share it with everyone, everyone on Twitter, everyone on Facebook. I'll even like screenshot it, send it to my Instagram account, be like, yo, what's up, people, come. And I'm telling you right now, I have several different plans going, but I have one. So I'm doing my friend Aussie Dave's Follow the Rabbi. We decided to do, but this is like the fourth or fifth one I've done with people. I have 15 people on this group with me doing this plan. And I'm here to tell you right now, it is awesome. Half of these people I know, half of them I have never met.
Yeah.
Yep. And they are encouraging each other and supporting each other. Like I ran into a girl at church that's on this with me and she was like, oh my gosh, did you read what so-and-so said the other day? I was like, yeah. And FYI, I have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's just on there, like just giving us encouragement and sharing his thoughts and just being such a great, you know, like I'm not even leading the study anymore. It's almost like he's, you know, and then like, I lost my streak.
Yeah.
And I didn't show up one day and he actually came and like found a post that I had posted in YouVersion and commented on it and was like, hey, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Like, how cool is that? Yeah. So anyway,
now,
that's my story. I'm just telling you that like, it like, yes. Is it the same as like sitting around a campfire saying Kumbaya and you know, whatever else is the cool, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but is it what works for me at the time and with students who are all over the place in your city and youth group and this and that, like, is it a great option? Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, and see that.
And I don't get paid by YouVersion people.
Yeah. well, and I think that's the thing. I think, yes. Are there some caution flags we need to see about social media and teenagers and interactions? Yes, we have to be cautious. And like you said, there are things that you can do as a family. It really starts at the home. Yeah. You know, as a family, what you can do to encourage physical interaction or in-person interaction and whatnot. But yeah. What I think is important is social media is very social for these students, and it can build community, and you can show and share your faith with other people. So it provides so many benefits to it. It really is a balancing act that you have to do.
Right, right. And, you know, of course, when you're doing, our youth leader for our church does stuff on YouVersion with the students. And, you know, students are all about like getting their streak or getting like, you know, am I going to get like donuts or something if I do this plan? Like she's not above like offering rewards for like people participating. So she, you know, is very like, hey, you know, if you know the verse of the week, would you have to go into the app? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So feel free to like use some sort of incentive to get your students to do a plan with you.
Yeah.
You know,
and again, I think it's great. And the thing is, because it's on their phone, I found more kids are more likely to do that with me online than they are if I was to say, hey, let's get together at church and do a Bible study together.
Right. Well, and there's also, you know, when you're doing it with a group, I really like it because it opens up that comment mm-hmm. area, which is if yes. you're doing one by yourself, or if you just share the plan with somebody, but it's not your, you haven't mm-hmm. done it with a group, it doesn't have that option. And so, you know, a lot of times you might get a little bit more interaction with a response there than you would just sitting in a room.
Yes.
You know,
I agree completely. So this is a great topic. It's an ongoing topic because like you said, it's not going to go back. You know,
no.
We don't listen to music on record players anymore because we've gone past that. In the same
speak
way.
Speak for yourself, bro.
wait, you still have them?
Yes. Vinyl is king.
See that? Well, hey, listen, vinyl is great quality. I'll say that. I mean, it is great quality. I actually a friend of mine and his teenage daughter. He gave his teenage daughter a record player that also had like a digital kind of component to it as well. But she mm-hmm. could play records on it because they as a family they do love their vinyl records. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I do want to, you know, talk about too is, you know, there is, we kind of hit on it and then we moved to just like engaging people using that technology of the YouVersion. But, you know, in addition to that, we really want to, and I will say, I'm not an expert at this. I'm still trying to figure this out, but I think we've got to figure this out as a culture. And we say this is for students, but really this is for us too. This is as adults, we have to lead the way. We have to show what it's like to be the light of Christ in our lives, in our interactions with the people that we run into at the store mm-hmm. and in our interactions with the people that we run into online.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line is we're worried about our teenagers not acting appropriately. get that plank out of our eyes, you know, yeah. like let's look, how am I interacting online? Am I having fun? Am I showing, you know, the joy of Christ? Am I showing, you know, am I constantly sharing things about fear, you know, that I'm afraid of with this world and yeah. hell in a handbasket? Am I allowed yeah. to say hell? I don't know.
Yeah, you can.
Anyway,
yeah.
it's, you know, like we have to lead the way. And so I want to share 5 tips about how I engage with social media and like we can teach this to our students, but then also like, let's do it too. And right. so the first thing is to be intentional about who you're following and why you're following them and why you're posting. So, you know, it's so easy, Facebook especially, which I know we're talking about teenagers, they're not on Facebook, but just for us old folks, Facebook, especially Twitter, especially very easy to share something.
Yeah.
But just pause for a second, just take a second and say like, what good is this really going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
if you're following somebody and like everything that you read makes your blood boil, just stop, just follow them. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff, just kind of taking a moment.
Yeah.
The second tip is when I go on social and you know, I see this too with the young folk, they're like, how many likes did I get? I'm going to go, you know,
yeah.
I know several of my teenage friends, they will post something. And if within a certain time, they don't receive a certain number of likes, they'll take it down.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. which I've done that too. I'm just going to sure. say not for the same reason, but just like, okay, well, this is not doing what I like. Yeah. I wanted to start a conversation about this topic and it's mm-hmm. not happening. So I'm just going to get rid of it.
Yep.
But you know, instead of going to social media to see what I can get out of it, like who has liked my post, how many people have viewed my story, I go to it asking, what can I give to the people who engage with me on social media?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking at my feed, I say, who can I give encouragement today? Who needs a laugh today? because I love to laugh. And if you fall, if you are with me on Twitter, and if you have not received the GIF/GIF treatment from Jeanette, just hold on, because I can get into the GIF game big time.
Everybody follow Jeanette right now.
I love it. You know, a kind word, you know, so I go there thinking, what can I give to somebody that would be beneficial? And sometimes that's through a comment or a response or a DM. And then sometimes it's through something I'm just going to share. So maybe just a generic encouragement.
Yeah.
The third thing I wrote is, the third thing I do is, you know, and we know, have you read the book, Be Known for Something, by Mark McDonald?
No, I've not.
Okay. Well, he also has a blog too, but it's a book for church communicators about that churches should not be known for what they're against, but should be known for what they're for. And I've kind of adopted that into my life. Like, I want to be known for something. Mm-hmm. And so I try to, when I'm posting, I think, okay, I don't want to be known for what I cannot stand. Mm-hmm. I want to be known for the things that I love and enjoy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
So, anyway, so that's kind of, you know, not that you never can share bad news, 'cause you know, in our life, we might have a passion for the homeless in our community. And we might want to share, like, you know, a statistic that is, you know, concerning to us, you know, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But we also, you know, let's also share stuff about what we're doing in our community to help that community, you know, that group of people.
Yep.
And then online to offline. I think that we can use those online conversations to spark offline conversations. So you just mentioned at the beginning of the show that I met two of your friends that I had interacted with online, and I felt like they were my friends, and that made our conversations offline like way easier, because you know, and we did have that. And then, of course, we took it back online when we took our pictures and shared it with you because you weren't there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a way to start engagement. And, you know, it used to be weird to be like, oh, how was that trip? People would be like, how do you know about that trip? Yeah. Now everybody knows. They get it. Yeah. Like, if they've put it on their Instagram and you follow them, then it's not going to be a shock when you see them and you say, how was your trip? Like, it's okay. Like, I think that, like, kind of creepy. Now, if it's somebody that you don't ever interact with and you say that might be weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a friend who does a lot of races and she runs all the time. And so, you know, she posts about that. And then, so when I see her on Sundays, I'm like, oh my gosh, that race looked like so much fun. What did you guys do after the race? You know, and that sparks a conversation. I think that's another thing that we can do.
Yeah.
And then my fifth tool for myself, and I'm encouraging it for other adults and teens, is, you know, it's okay to take a break.
Yes.
Even those of us who work on social media, it's okay to take a break. Yep. And, you know, especially for people who do spend a lot of time, whether it's for work or fun, on digital tools, let's try to get some fresh air once a day.
Yep.
Let's try to talk to a real human person in face-to-face, in the flesh, at least once a day. You'd be surprised how sometimes, like, that may not happen, like, in a day, especially if you work remotely and, you know, you're busy. Like, I could go all day and not actually talk to anybody else.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%, and it's good. I realize that I crave those one-on-one conversations with people face-to-face, so I'll go and grab a cup of coffee with someone real quick or something like that. So I think that's fantastic. These five things have been awesome. I mean, again, our whole conversation's great. I actually think that we broke the record that I have for longest podcast interview, which is fantastic. It's nothing better to break it with you than with anybody else. And then I can jab Stan and say, look how long Jeanette talked, you know? I mean, so, you know, maybe.
And I'm pretty sure I might have broken the record on his podcast because he was like, whoa, you tell a ton of stories. Well, so anyway.
It is fantastic. Well, this is great. I love it. And again, this is going to be part of our ongoing conversations down the road too. So it gives me another opportunity to have you back online. And then maybe one time this summer, I might even see you in person when I come and bring my daughter down to South Florida.
Yes. And maybe you should go to a conference in September.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe. I definitely have to work on that one. You're going to be speaking at it. So, I mean,
no, I
thought you were speaking at it.
Oh, heck no.
Gosh.
No. I'll just be being silly like I always am. But at all the conferences.
Yeah. Well, good. Then I might have to sit by you. So that'd be good. So.
Well, thanks for that.
As always, it's great having you on the podcast. So thanks so much for joining me today.
I look forward to the next time we can chat. We should chat about like ways to like keep engagement going in the summer when everybody goes away.
That's great. Okay. I'm going to call you on that one. That's fantastic. Okay. Thank you. You just gave me another topic.
So, okay. Have a good one.
All right. So there you have my conversation with Jeanette Yates. It's always great having her on. And, you know, again, as we kind of talked about, social media is not going away. Digital communications is not going away. So how can you work with students? How can you work with children now? As this is the world they grow up in. Generation Z, this is their world. And so how do we do that so that we can help them have good interpersonal skills, but also good digital skills where they're also sharing their lives, but also sharing their life with Christ. So it's a really good conversation. I would really love to hear your thoughts on it. So definitely hit me up on Twitter. What stands out to you? What are you thinking about in regards to this topic? And so hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to continue to carry on this conversation with you. All right, heroes. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. As always, you can go over to ymsidekick.com and get all the great content there with blogs, the podcast, the vlogs, my Twitter ebook, and also information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group for all ministers to go and learn some digital tools to help them expand their reach. So you can go there, or you can go to iTunes and subscribe to this. It'll come to your iTunes podcatcher, wherever it is. Every Wednesday, you can also hit me up on Spotify. I'm there as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can get this great content. I hope you do. And I hope if you have a topic or a person you want me to interview, definitely hit me up there as well. You can email me at tom@ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.